All right, you're back with us. Believe in Rams, episode 161. I'm Jake Ellenboga. Joining me, as always, is my buddy over here, your former Ram linebacker, Cameron Lynch. Also, I need to let you guys know, if you don't follow Off the Edge, shame on you. You should go follow it. Just kidding. But he's now Camstradamus.
Okay. Yeah. It's been coined after the draft, everybody. During the draft, I shout out to PFF, Pro Football Focus. I was looking at the chart and I was like, hey, what about this guy? What about that guy? And it happened during the draft. So Camstradamus, you know, bringing that here to Believe in Rams, where it all started. Excited to talk about the Rams draft, Jake.
I'm just waiting on the magic crystal ball that I'm hoping you acquire a prop at some point down the road, but no pressure.
Soon to come.
soon to come. I like it. So just want to let you know that betonline.ag is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs, basketball, MLB, NHL, right to UFC, and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options, your favorite casino and card games you can play right from your home. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Yeah, so we got a lot to talk about. Before we do, be sure to like, subscribe, comment, rate, review. Tell all your friends that you know, every single person. You can tell your dog to listen and watch Believe in Rams. Yeah. You can also tell them to watch and listen to Off the Edge as well. But let's dive into it, Cam, because they didn't have a first-round pick, and I can confirm, my sources told me, and was eventually confirmed by Jordan Rodriguez herself, that the Rams tried to move into the first round a few times. Mm-hmm. They liked five offensive players. Now, what was not reported is what I was told. They really liked Miles Murphy, who we've already covered on Off the Edge, going to the Bengals, but they really liked Dalton Kincaid. They tried to trade up. They tried to trade up multiple times. And, you know, they tried to get Dalton Kincaid at 23. Vikings said no. So they called it a day. They're like, you know what? All right, we're not going to trade in the first round. Cam, I like this because Kincaid, at first glance, Kincaid in this offense is like, okay, all right. You put him with Tyler Higbee. You know, you have Bryson as your number three. You got Hunter Long as your number four. You're cooking with grease, my friend, in that tight end room. However, the opportunity cost, you know, what were you going to have to give up? And I was told the Rams are going to have to give up three picks, my guy, to move all the way up in the first round. You're shaking your head. It's not worth it. I can already see it. No. You can see it on your face.
Yeah. We got Davis Allen. I mean, come on. I have some of my notes here. Throw the damn ball up. He'll catch it. So, hey, I like Davis Allen where the Rams got him.
No, I'm with you there, Cam. You know, I'm glad they didn't do that. They did get their number one guy on their board after they reset their board, because, you know, the common misconception, we hear it all the time, oh, well, he was number one on our board, and they're talking about a day three guy. And they never correct anything. They never realize, like, how that would sound to the out. So if he's number one on your board, and you picked him on day three, why the hell did you didn't pick him earlier? You know, like, so, like, but here's the thing, though. The misconception is that boards reset. So they reset the board after day one, after day two, and so forth. So looking at Steve Avila was the guy they targeted. They were really concerned that he was going to get selected. He did not. And Avila is now a Ram. High, really, really high floor, I think. Decently high ceiling. Can play guard, can play center. He's actually a natural center. He moved to guard. And I absolutely love this pick, Cam. I believe I gave it an A+. I just absolutely love this. I didn't think they were going to go in this direction. I think I kind of alluded to that on some of our shows. Like, I'm not hearing the Rams are really, you know, interested. They like the guys that they have in-house. They'll probably tackle, you know, the offensive tackle, you know, guard, center spots later on the draft. I wasn't expecting 36th overall, but I'm here for it because, in case you didn't know, 36th overall, Deebo Samuel, Breece Hall, Javon Holland, you know, Xavier McKinney. Guys are ballers that, you know, the last few drafts that I've got. Miles Jack got picked there. There's a lot of good names that got picked at 36. And Cam, I think you're going to get some of that, you know, magic sprinkle powder or whatever over this 36 pick. I think it's in Steve Avila, man.
I like Steve Avila, Jake. I'm looking here. is that he didn't allow a single sack, Jake, in the final season at TCU. I mean, these folks, they went they went to the championship. Now, it's simple at this point. What I just read out, I mean, my guy is 6'3", Jake, 333 pounds, not allowing a sack, went to the championship in college. So I know Matthew Stafford, he's sitting looking pretty. He's like, man, I got this guy coming in. I got this dog coming in, right? And Stetson Bennett got drafted a little bit later, but both of these UGA guys should be super happy with Steve Avila. You know, even Steve Avila lost to UGA in the championship there. You know, they got a guy who has quick feet, strong arms, right? 28 reps on bench, great mirror ability, like you just mentioned. He can play center, he can play guard. Jay, what can he not do, right? You know, and you think about even field goal, right? Even field goal kicks, stick him in there. I mean, he's 333 pounds. He's going to clog up some holes. I don't think people are going to really get through him, right? He didn't allow any pressure. So, you know, first team all Big 12, a second team All-American. Hey, I love the pick. You talk about that's an A-plus pick, Jake. I agree. You know, we talk about believing in Rams. We talk about protecting the quarterback safety. I mean, you got a bodyguard in Steve Avila come from TCU. He's a captain of his team as well, Jake. Hey, I love it. Shout out to the Rams. Great job in getting him on that pick.
My man, they got the bouncer. They got the bouncer for the club, the proverbial club, you know, we always talk about, you know, it's just like kicking these guys out of the club. And, you know, I think when you look at Avila's game, wide base, right, he's going to let you know it. Nasty dude. I think he could be described as a mauler, but I think oftentimes the negative connotation that comes to being a mauler is that you can't pass protect, right? It's one or the other. And that is not what you get with Steve Avila. Obviously, right. You just pointed that out. And you can't say level of competition and then, well, it's just college. No. You, homie, don't play that. Yeah. Because you went up against Georgia and, like, you know, that's the thing is that he's been battle tested. He's gone up against pass rushers, you know, that are really good in this draft. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, Avila is somebody that he fits right in there, whether he's left guard or center for the Rams. And they'll have to make a decision. They're going to have that internal discussion. If they realize, like, look, you know, we go out, we get Dalton Risner, right? Like, you know, we're the Rams organization. We go out and get a veteran in Dalton Risner who's still available, or an Isaiah Wynn. And what that does is you go out and get Wynn. Maybe he plays tackle. You move Alec Jackson or Nopum, whoever, to left guard. Maybe Brian Allen, that durability concern's enough to push him out. And now all of a sudden, Avila's my center. So I think that they can go multiple ways. I don't think they're done, Cam. I think they're, you know, they did just add, and we'll probably highlight it a little bit. It's not a huge deal, but they did just add Brett Rypien. It happened, that news broke right before we went on, you know, and recorded this. But I just think it's important to realize, like, they now have some versatility. And I'm not saying I'd love him there, but he could play three positions. Cam, he's a, you know, in a pinch, if you need him, he could play right tackle.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, at this point, right, have him play everything. I think that's really important to be able to be the utility player, especially for the Rams football team, Jake. And, you know, when it comes to camp, right, have him play guard, have him play guard a little bit, and then learn that center position just in case. Also have him learn that tackle position. So, you know, I love it there. And I've been watching the Whitney Houston piece on Netflix, Jake. I don't know if you've seen it, but, you know, of course, she starred in that movie, The Bodyguard. Steve Avila, he is the bodyguard, right? Whitney Houston can be, you know, Matthew Stafford. And Steve Avila can be the bodyguard for Matthew Stafford in that piece. So I love it. The Rams got their bodyguard in Steve Avila, big man, All-American. Let's go. Hey, let's go. I love it.
And the thing I love about this pick is everyone has weaknesses, Cam. It's why they're prospects. It's why, you know, even your first round picks, right? This guy's weaknesses are like when you start get picky from like a scouting perspective of technique, like really picky. Like we're talking, maybe he's not as explosive enough, but he has it. He's just not using a certain technique the right way. And so I think really that's the only thing that was picked apart is technical skills. And it's getting really picky. Like his weaknesses are very small. And I think that's the thing you're going to see just looking at who the Rams got in this draft. There was a source told me that they looked at this draft as calculated. That was really how they saw this draft. Like they were really calculated in the decision making and whatnot. And I just think when you look at Steve Avila here, this pick is high floor, ready to play day one. And I've said it before. I'll say it again. I sent it to you. Kind of a joke, but a real thing. Stop talking about tanking. You don't go out and get a high floor guard ready to play at pick 36 over a guy like Bergeron, right? Who could have been your developmental offensive tackle guard guy. You don't get a guy like this if you're tanking.
No. No, you want Matthew Stafford to be healthy. Hey, you got the bodyguard for your quarterback. And just what the Rams went through last year, I mean, we were on the edge, Jake. We were hanging on by a thread last year. So just to see what they've done in this draft, that we talk about it on the Off the Edge show, right? How teams draft in the first round, the first couple rounds, shows where their priorities are for the rest of the year, who they're backing up. And clearly they're doubling down on Matthew Stafford. Like I said, they jumped down and got Stetson Bennett as well. So they want to make sure the issues from last year, we don't see them this year. And so I love it with Steve, Jake. The Ram, he didn't allow any pressures. That means Matthew Stafford is going to go home clean. That's the goal, is for quarterbacks to go home with that clean jersey and make sure that their linemen are taking some of the brunt of that work. So Steve, I love the move. We talk about calculated draft there. Jake, we talked about it. I mean, the Rams had no choice but to crush it in this draft, just how things were going on in the offseason. So, you know, finishing off with that Allen trade there and not getting much from it. So it's cool to see that they got actual real value in the draft. And my favorite part about it, Jake, is a lot of these guys are captains. And it's exactly what we talked about here on this podcast, is that we need captains to step in and serve as leaders on this team.
I absolutely agree, and I think Avila is a guy that could end up being the captain day one. He's very well respected, and I mean, I'm glad because the Rams wanted him that badly. They got in touch the new offensive line coordinator, or the offensive line coach, whose name is totally escaping me. Wendell, I think it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm forgetting his name from Buffalo, but. You know, he was like, you know, Jordan Rodriguez had a piece where basically, you know, he was playing, you know, throwing the bags outside, you know, just throwing him around, like trying to like take his mind off it. Right. Like, just like, all right, he's going to fall. He's going to fall. He's going to fall. Then when he fell, he's able to make the call. Right. So love the pick there. That was a huge moment for the Rams. Another huge moment for the Rams is that they had the pick at 69. And I'm going to shed some light on this. So they have the pick at 69, and it's a little interesting because what ends up happening is that the Rams end up making a trade. And so they had the pick at 69, they trade down, and essentially them trading down, they had a mission coming into this draft. They wanted to get a fourth round pick. Okay. They wanted to get a pick in that fourth round. And you got to give a shout out to Les Snead because he got the fourth round pick without having to package a bunch of fifth rounders like I anticipated. And I think like you anticipate. I mean, normally you got to give a little to get a little, right? Yeah. And so, you know, I thought I was expecting they packaged two fifth rounders. They didn't have to. They trade down here. They did, unfortunately, because they traded down and they had the 77th pick from the Jalen Ramsey trade. They missed out. I can confirm, a source told me, on Marte Mapu. And that was a guy that we talked about on Off the Edge. I think we talked about on Believe in Rams as well. This is a, you know, a Sacramento State really underrated safety linebacker type of guy, similar vein as like a Jeremy Chinn, and they really wanted him. So he ends up coming off the board, pick 76 to the Patriots. They're not happy about it. So they decide to go out and get the guy that they were looking at the next pick that they had. And that's Byron Young out of Tennessee. And we talked about him a ton. And I mean, Cam, I love this pick. I know that there are some, you know, really, there's a lot of pickiness about him out there. There's people that say he can't stop the run, like he gets engulfed and all that, whatever. 18.8, you know, run stop rate. We talked about that, the highest of any of the edge, according to PFF. I think when you look at Byron Young, you see the juice off the edge. You see what he's been through, the adversity, and you're sticking with the scope. And what I mean by that is with, you know, you look at the Rams, they went in, they had a theme. And the theme was get football players at the top of this draft that can help you win tomorrow. And I think that's what you get in Byron Young, a guy that can play right away, and guys that have been through adversity, guys that have been leaders. Captain Cam is a big winner in this draft because everything you said about captains, let's be honest here. The Rams, they valued it. I think they're listening to you, Cam.
Yeah, no, it's a captain type draft. Byron Young, you mentioned just his background. I mean, my man ran a 4.43, right? And so that's just speed coming off the edge. And like I said, he reminds me of that old school player a bit. So I know Aaron Donald's going to really like that. And Aaron Donald's going to be able to teach Byron Young some skills, you know, just when it comes to the Rams defensive line and who they've given up and just the defense in general, right? You know, Raheem Morris, he's going to need something to work with. And Byron Young, being a captain, being an older player as well, he's going to be able to step into that Rams team and be ready to play. I know Leonard Floyd is not there anymore, so they're going to need that anchor on the other side to get things moving. So I love Byron Young there. And the Rams, really, we talk about just the draft grade, right? I have an A for them overall. They're addressing the line of scrimmage, Jake. We talk about this. The offensive line with Steve, and then now they have the defensive line with Byron Young. And I like that because that's what the Rams needed. Now they can work their way out from that line of scrimmage and figure out how to build the team up. But that's a great start, a strong start. We talked about having a strategic draft, and this is exactly what the Rams needed, Jake. You know, if they pulled something with the Lions pull, for example, the Lions had a lot of reaches, right? We looked at their draft. They had a lot of reaches. If the Rams were pulling that stuff, Jake, this would be a different Believe in Rams podcast. But they started off extremely
just start
strong.
Cussing and everything. Like, oh, yeah. Are you kidding me, Snead? Like,
yeah, right. I mean, you shouted out Snead earlier, and I'm like, oh snap, David, Jake shouting out Les Snead. No, but
Les Snead, and
they had the draft room, Jake. I know they had the draft house. I know you were like, man, did they have another draft house? I'm gonna be upset, but this draft house. It served them justice.
It worked.
It worked.
It worked, man. The draft lab worked. I mean, let's look at it. Steve Avila, you're not tanking for getting Steve Avila. You're not tanking for getting a 25-year-old pass rusher.
No.
Hate to break it to you. Yeah. That's not a tanking move, right? Yeah. So this is high floor guys. And Byron Young still needs to develop a pass rush plan. Like, there are times where, you know, he gets into, you know, that one-on-one combat. And he's like, you know, and he just tries to win with speed or whatever. I want to see more of a plan. And I think that the Rams coaching staff is going to do a good job of. And honestly, Aaron Donald, because, he hangs out with the edge guys. So
there you
go. Don't sleep on Donald. If he teaches him, which I believe he will, if he teaches him that jump shot, and he can pull off that jump shot with that 4.4, like, you know, we're talking not even the speed, the 1.5 for 10 yard. Like, you know, this guy's explosive. If he can pull off that jump shot, and then he's got the speed rush, and he has the bull rush, you know, now all of a sudden we're cooking with some grease here.
Yeah. I mean, and Byron Young had a 38-inch vert, Jake, 11-inch broad jump. Those are defensive back numbers, right? And so you mentioned if Aaron Donald's able to get to this 25-year-old who we think is too old, that's perfect for the NFL to take on that pressure that the Rams are going to probably be putting him in. Like, hey, we need you to step up. Leonard Floyd's not here. We need you to step up. And him being 25, it allows him to step into that role nicely. And, Jake, you mentioned just – we talked about his numbers here. 4.43 and a 40, 38-inch vert, 11-inch broad. The opposing quarterback's going to be in some real trouble. And – if he's able to bend a little bit, Jake, Byron Young, you know, I think some of the pieces for him was he a little bit stiff in the hips. If he's able to get some of that wiggle, some of that Gumby wiggle that we know of when it comes to the pass, the Rams pass rushers, there you go. He's going to be a lot more dangerous. So Byron Young, I like him there. We talk about him not being great in the run. He's going to learn how to do his thing in a run game, right? He's going to be one of the better additions to this Rams team. And Jake, what I want to see is, are these draft picks lasting, right, for a good amount of time? We talk about not tanking. I think these guys are here to stay. Some of the other Rams draft picks, a lot of times you see them leaving the team and exiting after a year or two. I think these guys are staple players, and they're going to be the makeup of this team and a successful Rams team as well. So Byron Young, great pick for the Rams.
And you can see this is how you start to form your identity as a draft class. When you go out and you get guys that like, yeah, this guy, you know, dollar general to the NFL. I don't want to, you know, rehash that. We've talked about that so many times. People are probably tired of hearing it. But I mean, the guy's been through adversity. You know, Steve Avila, you know, he's a center. He's always been a center. He's asked to play guard. you know, because the guy transfers in or whatever it was. He was asked to play guard. He did it, and he did it with flying colors. So then we move on to the pick that I felt, this is my least favorite pick, all right? And the reason being is because, you know, I've been pounding the stump for Adetamiwa Adebare. And if you told me before the draft started he was going to fall to 89, the Rams were going to pass on him, and you told me right after that, but you're still going to think the Rams had an A-plus draft, I would have been like, no, you're out of your damn mind. There's no way. But the Rams did have an A-plus draft, in my opinion. And the Kobe Turner pick, I'm telling you, I said it. I called my shot on the live stream. I said, I have other guys that I wanted here, but I won't be surprised when he proves me wrong. And he's the John Johnson of this draft, because I think John Johnson went 89th as well, if I'm not mistaken, in 2017. And I can tell you, I wasn't a big fan of the pick because I like Desmond King. So I went on record, was like, Desmond King in the fifth round, like he was there. Like I would have gone with Desmond King, but John Johnson ended up being a baller and probably should have gotten a second deal. I know he wanted to come back. So Kobe Turner, we know he could sing, although maybe you didn't know that, but he can on his TikTok. Apparently he can really sing. He can really belt those tunes. He's a little undersized, air quotes needed. I love the whole undersized thing we're still doing with interior defensive linemen. Like, miss me with that. Greg Gaines was undersized. How did that work out? Aaron Donald. I mean, the list goes on. You know, so, you know, I think this is somebody that when I watch the tape, he's always trying to rip the ball out. He's always trying to get the ball back, in this case, into Stafford's hands. And so, also, I will say this. This has something to do with his play style. My man wore zero. He was confident in those trenches, my guy. He's rocking number zero. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I loved that about him. There's something about that. I know, like, you know, numbers and everything, but there are people that take numbers very seriously. And I don't know, it just kind of shows you kind of who he is. He's kind of an alpha dog mentality and very intelligent football player. You know, this is somebody that, you know, my guy over with the Rams, who I actually had the pleasure of, you know, speaking with at the Senior Bowl a few years back, and Michael Pierce, who's the Southern Regional Scout. I believe, I forget the exact whereabouts he is, but this was his guy, reported by Jordan Rodrigue. And if this is his guy, like, I think he's going to end up being, you know, the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, Jake, Kobe was a walk-on. Like, let's just start there. I mean, my man was a walk-on. So to see that, 6'2", 288, Jake, I don't see how that's undersized. That sounds like a large man to me.
Tired of the undersized label.
Yeah. They're like, if they're not 6'3", then they're undersized. So at this point, if a defensive lineman, Jake, is 5'10", then, you know, 5'11", then I'd be like, all right, my guy might be undersized here. Let's figure something out. But if they're 6 feet and above, let's just say, hey, they're the prototypical size of a defensive lineman, thanks to Aaron Donald, especially when they come to the Rams. So let's just wipe that away. But 6'2", 288, Jake, walk on at Richmond, and then moves to Wake Forest, becomes a at Richmond was FCS All-American there, and then third team All-ACC when he goes to the Wake Forest. The man's a beast. You talk about his ability to get the ball out. The term for this, Jake, when we talk about defensive linemen, when there's a pass play, a screen play to the receiver, and the defensive linemen are coming out and going to tackle the receiver, we call that running out of the stack, right? You run out of the stack, and a lot of times defensive linemen can force fumbles running out of the stack. You turn on Kobe's tape, you see him forcing fumbles by running out of the stack. And Jake, Raheem Morris has to be elated with this pick here. I'm sure he's probably pounding on the table for this young man, but you got a guy that can run like Aaron Donald. You got a guy that can run like Kobe, that can run like Kobe Turner. They're going to get the football back. And we talked about this, Jake. When you hire guys on defense, defense wins championships. But the way they win championships, if they get the quarterback the ball back, and Kobe is a guy who can force those fumbles and get his quarterback the football back. A lot of TFLs, Jake. A lot of tackles for loss with him, 10 tackles for loss. So he's going to live in that backfield. And the great thing about a guy who is 6'2", 288, Jake, is he has a lower center of gravity, right? His leverage is always going to be great anytime he gets off that football. And that can be another thing with him as well. He does stand up a little bit high. That was some of his critiques there. But with Kobe Turner wearing that big zero, I don't know if he's going to wear that at the Rams.
He should. Do it.
Why not, right? Why not? I think the Rams, the NFL just changed the rule, I believe, too, where I think bigger guys can wear smaller numbers. So, hey, Kobe Turner, why not get that big zero there? And that can be indicative of the Rams defense, right? Where you allow 0 points every game. Keep that in mind. You see Kobe, 0 points a lot every game. But I do like Kobe Turner, that addition there, coming out of Wake Forest. I'm showing love to any of the ACC guys, right? I'm a Syracuse guy. So Wake Forest, making sure to show love there, because you see the SEC all throughout this draft. So shout out to Kobe Turner and the Rams for picking him up.
Yeah, and this guy, high motor. You know, I was reading some reports about, you know, teammates and coaches just raving about not only just his off the field work, his on the field work, but his off the field work, you know, just seems like a guy that fits the mold.
Yeah.
And we talk about it. You create your identity of your draft class early on. Well, we know what this identity is, Cam. This is hardworking guys. Kobe's going to be 24. He's already 24, I believe. It was draft weekend. He was going to turn 24. So 24, 25, you know, Avila, I think, is 23. So, you know, you're going out and getting guys that can play right away. And I think, you know, initially I looked at this as a rotational guy, but, you know, after further review, really intelligent, you know, guy that can, you know, force fumbles and, you know, is really, they call him the conductor because, you know, he's disruptive, but he also has that music, you know, career coming, you know. I like it. I think it's cool. We're going to call him the conductor from now on. But, you know, I think Kobe Turner is going to start day one. Yeah. And so that is part of the reason why I think this draft class is an A+. Because even though this is my least favorite pick based on who was available, they go out and they get a guy that's starting day one. They go out and get Byron Young starting day one. They go out and get Steve Avila starting day one. My man, you didn't have a first-round pick. You turned a second, a third, and a third into three starters. No one can take that away from you.
Yeah. Great job. Great start.
There we go. And then this next guy is very polarizing. It's a lover. Love him or you hate him. But you probably hate him if you're not a Georgia fan, because he probably beat your team pretty bad. His name is Stetson Bennett.
Twice. And
he's really good at football. You know, I don't feel like, you know, when you look at him, and I know people that delete tweets. Okay. I'm not one of those people. I stood by it. You know, I tweeted out pretty early on in one of the games I was watching. He just didn't impress me. So I was like, okay, this is just a college quarterback, you know, at its finest, you know, seventh round UDFA. I don't see him really doing anything in the NFL. And then this is why I don't watch as much college during the season, because I don't want to skew any views. So when I go under the hood essentially and start watching the tape, I'm like, this guy can ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, sure enough, he ends up weighing in, you know, at 192 pounds at the combine, 5'11". I know people are going to talk about his off the field stuff. I'm not really concerned about that. I think it was just a lapse of judgment. I think really what it was, Cam, is the Senior Bowl was happening. And while the Senior Bowl is happening, you turn down the Senior Bowl. Some would look at that as like an agent told him, okay, you don't need the Senior Bowl, but you also don't need to be caught, you know, publicly intoxicated either. So, you know, I think that was kind of the double whammy.
Yeah.
He's an
Athens guy, Jake. Athens, Georgia, they party down there. So,
yeah.
When he gets to the Rams, we're about to pump the brakes. You know, Jock McClendon, he's the player development guy that he's going to have to keep an eye on Stetson and make sure he's an Uber, you know, make sure he has people around him, keep him safe in LA, but he'll be fine.
He will. And I wanted to start with that because, you know, Baker. Before anyone says that I'm hating on Stetson, I'm not. I'm just telling the full story, and the overall scope is that, you know, Baker Mayfield went number one overall. He got arrested, you know, drunk. He was running away from the cops. He got he hit himself, he ran into something or whatever. Like, just a really bad look, but he still went number one overall. Bennett doesn't have elite traits, but he's a proven winner. He makes, you know, far hash to sideline throws. This is somebody that has the mobility. I think when you look at him, he's not the prototypical, you know, 6'5" quarterback, but can we start just throwing that term away? Prototypical. What is the prototypical quarterback? I mean, the guy that just played in the Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles was better the quarterback than Patrick Mahomes in that game. No one could tell me otherwise. Should have won the Super Bowl MVP, even though they lost. Jalen Hurts was 6 feet tall. So miss me with the prototypical quarterback. You got Kyler Murray, who's running around at 5'8", 5'9". You got Russell Wilson, who's made a living. He's won a Super Bowl at 5'10".
Yeah.
I'm so over prototypical. Okay. I mean, Anthony Richardson's going to ball. I'm not hating on Anthony Richardson. If you are like the prototypical size, okay. But we shouldn't knock guys just because they're 5'11". If the guy can ball, the guy can ball.
Yeah,
and that's what I see with Stetson Bennett.
Yeah, Drew Brees, Taylor Heineke. I mean, you got so many guys that play in this league that are below 6 feet tall and Hall of Famers, going back to Drew Brees. So spot on.
Yeah, and I thought it was important to throw that out there. And, you know, I think the thing about him is that in those big games, he just stepped up. He did when his best was required. That's when he brought his best. Mm-hmm. And you can say, oh, well, he threw to this guy and this guy and at this guy, like, because Brock Bowers is probably going top five. He is a great tight end. You know, you have guys like that. You know, he threw to Pickens last year, not this past year, but last year. You know, I understand that, but the guy is putting the ball around the money. The guy's still making the throws, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Jake, I think the hate's overblown with him.
Yeah. I mean, get past the off the field piece, right? He was a college student, made a big mistake, probably one of the biggest mistakes, right? But hey, let's work on that now. Do your thing. Stay hydrated, right? Don't drink as much and you'll be fine. we'll work on that. I'm confident in that. But one thing I don't want to overlook, Jake, is that my man Stetson won the Burlesworth Trophy, right? As the nation's top player who began his career as a walk-on. So, like I said, I don't want to overlook these things. I was an undrafted guy, Jake, so it was similar to being a walk-on. But at the pros, Kobe Turner, you got Stetson Bennett, both walk-ons, both guys who get drafted. You know, Kobe at 89 and then Stetson at 128. So that's something in itself. So I just want to give a little hand clap. If we had the little button, you know, that's the cheers there. Because, you know, that's hard to do. Fast forward, Jake. Heisman Trophy, you know, finalists. You go from a walk-on to becoming a Heisman Trophy finalist. So that tells me what you just said. He knows how to win, right? No matter how tall you are, no matter how fast you are, my man ran a 4.6, which is not bad, right? We talk about the game changing. You need a running quarterback. That's actually excellent. 35-inch vert. But he knows how to win football, right? He sat behind Justin Fields and Jake Fromm. So he was able to learn from some excellent quarterbacks who are now playing at the next level. One thing I really liked about him, Jake, is he has a nasty dead leg. Like, you watch his tape and you'll see him in tight quarters and he'll like look one way, boom, snap it off and shake some defenders. So I really like to see that, the fact that he's mobile. We you know, looking back at last year, the Rams need a quarterback who can run and throw, right? Matthew Stafford, he can run a little bit, but we know he can throw that dang on football. So with Stetson Bennett, we're going to get somebody who can really run, stretch the field a little bit, give someone that dead leg, but then also throw some touchdowns. Like I said, he's won 2 national championships, the offensive MVP for both of them. We got a baller, Jake. And so we talk about the Rams being intentional here. I think when it comes to their first 4 picks, I think they've hit the nail on the head. We talk about that A grade. I think they've done better than most teams when it comes to this NFL draft based off of their top 4 picks. We might be biased. I might be wearing a Rams shirt, you know, but they did a damn good job.
I mean, I'll just say it right now. I've never been afraid to call out a Rams draft, you know, and I thought this was an A-plus draft because Bennett is exactly what they needed. They didn't have a quarterback on the roster until today with the Brett Rippon piece, but they didn't have a quarterback on the roster outside of Stafford. Stafford has some injury concerns. I mean, let's just call it like it is. Let's just be real for a second. He does. And so I see that, and you add Bennett, and Bennett's probably one of the most NFL-ready quarterbacks because he's older, right?
Yeah, and 2 championships.
Yeah, and 2 national titles. You know, I just think that, you know, we talked about it. We glossed over, a little bit on Off the Edge, most recent episode where we were talking about, you know, combining Derek Carr with Jay Kaner, guys that both played at Fresno State. Now you're combining Matthew Stafford with Stetson Bennett. It gets you over the big hump of how does the QB1 and QB2 get along? You know, because that doesn't always happen. That's the common misconception, is that all these teammates get along. You've been in an NFL locker room. I'm sure you don't have to name any names, but I'm sure you could say not everybody gets along.
No. I mean, think about like your Ryan Tannehill and your Will Levis. Like, will they get along? Because Ryan Tannehill's like, man, I'm going to be gone soon. So yeah. You just never know where that beef, there could be some subtle beef there. But with this one, both UGA guys, it's a win-win.
You had me with the I'm going to be gone soon. Reminded me of that gif that went around, the Magic Johnson. I'm not going to be here.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, I love that. That's a classic. So moving on to the fifth round, the Rams go out. They get Nick Hampton. This is somebody that has, you know, it's more juice off the edge. He wasn't asked to do a ton. Like, he, you know, he's playing at App State, and I think it's App State, but, like, he's a man amongst boys against most of the competition he's going up against. So the nuance to his game, he does not have. That is something where you go out, you get him in the fifth round. He has that great athletic profile. He fits what the Rams look for. You know, you're going to have him be a situational rusher this year. And if he can work on developing as a run defender, he could end up starting opposite Byron Young. But Byron Young, to me, day one starter, not getting a day one starter in round five is totally acceptable. And especially because of what they did, you know, after that. But, you know, let's just, you know, isolate Nick Hampton here. What did you like about Nick Hampton, you know, when you had a chance to go over him? Because I feel like that juice off the edge is apparent, and they, like, mirrored the juice. You know, it's like they mirrored the juice of, like, Byron Young on one side, Nick Hampton in the future. I could see those both guys, you know, both of them starting.
Yeah. I think I like Hampton. One thing that really stuck out in his tape, it's exciting, right? You cut on his tape, Jake, and you, like, not only is his team fired up after he makes a big play, but you can hear the crowd. You can just, the excitement. I feel like he makes big plays when his team needs it. And so you can't look past that. I like that about him. When it comes to his pass rush toolkit, same thing with Young. I would like to see it increased a little bit, right? A lot of times with Hampton, he has a great outside move. He's able to beat people around the edge because he's just faster than them, right? He ran a 4.58. And so, you know, to be 6'2", 236, running a 4.58, you're going to beat a lot of people. So I would love to see some of his inside pass rush skills, right? What does that look like? Can he get down and dirty on the inside? If he has to move down a little bit, play a 5 technique or a 4 technique, what does that look like? He's a little bit lighter. What, a guy like Byron Young, I can see him moving inside and causing some damage there. So Nick Hampton, more of an outside rusher there. I would like to see, Jake, can he drop back in coverage, right? A guy that's 236, you're a stand-up guy. Can you drop back in coverage? So I just want to be able to see Nick Hampton turn that corner once he gets to the NFL, right? Sit down with Ernest, right, and figure out the coverage part of it, because you're pretty much the same height and weight as him. And then also, too, with Aaron Donald, get your pass rush skills locked in. Get with Byron Young and get in the lab and figure out those inside moves. So I like the pick there, Jake. Like I said, the Rams are they're addressing their needs. And it just fills my heart up to see that they're addressing their needs. So to see, yes, a guy like this come onto the field, man, make plays, like I said, it's a great pickup. And if he has to play special teams, Jake, like you say, he might not be a day one starter. One thing I do know, if you're not a day one starter, you're going to have to play them special teams. So I like to pick there. One of the comps I have for them is the Sam Abukam. Just seeing him play, seeing the way he gets around the edge a little bit. I like that comp there for him. But great pickup by the Rams.
Yeah, I think he's kind of similar in that mold. I think he's like a sub package rusher right now. I think that's what he is.
Exactly.
And he reminds me of a few guys. Uchenna Nwosu out of USC when he first came out. Like, teams are like, I mean, the guy can cover, but, like, where do I put this guy? Is he a linebacker, off-ball linebacker? Is he an edge, you know? And I think the same thing was said about Josh Uche when I think, you know, of the Patriots. I think people just realize, all right, look, like, Uche coming out of Michigan, like, he's got really good tape, and, I mean, he could play either or, you know? But I think, to be fair to those guys, Nick Hampton is not the... I would not say he has the off-ball skills that those guys have. I just think right now he's kind of in that sub package rusher role. And that's okay. You know, to be there and, you know, as a fifth round pick, that means that you're getting a chance to be on this team. In the past, those win now Rams teams, this guy's probably not seeing the field, and that's okay. But now he's going to be able to get more of an opportunity. This is what we talk about where, you know, opportunity is going to knock this year for a lot of these guys. And this draft class was very important, maybe the most important draft class in recent memory. And I thought they hit it home on, you know, this pick as well. And then yeah. I think, you know, when we move on to the next pick, Warren McClendon, I don't have to tell you, man. I told you, you know, that physicality at the point of attack, yeah. you know, he's got I keep using the words wonky. He's got wonky footwork. He is somewhat developmental, but I mean, the guy was good enough to not allow a sack in his last 2 years at Georgia. So, I mean, you know, you got to be pretty. You can't have it both ways. You can't be like the SEC is as good as the worst NFL team. And then also like be like, well, he's not quite NFL ready, even though he didn't give up a sack against these SEC pass rushers.
And he went to the championship twice, Jake. So it's yeah. it's crazy that you dropped that nugget there, because we got somebody else in Steve who didn't allow any pressures, right? So you see the combination, the common denominator here is guys that aren't allowing pressure, guys that can keep Matthew Stafford and Stetson Bennett safe. And add a little wrinkle to that, Warren McClendon played at Georgia too. So he's not only blocking for premium quarterbacks in the NFL, he's blocking for dogs. So
yeah,
it increases that trust factor. We talk about it, that trust factor. When you got your guys with you, it's just like, man, I'm going to put a little bit more into it, right? If I was giving it 100, I'm going to give it about a 105 at this point, because I got my UGA Bulldog behind me. I'm going to see some UGA fans up in the stands. And if I'm not blocking for him, they're going to be looking at me crazy. So that adds a little bit to it. So that's a great move by the Rams there. They probably took a page out of the Eagles notebook there, because the Eagles drafted a lot of, you know, Georgia guys. And when you win two national championships back to back, it makes sense. So, Jake, like I said, it's filling up my cup here to see that the Rams have really been intentional about this. They probably got a lot of bad mail, you know, in the offseason. And I'm sure, you know, even coming from this podcast, you know, we talk about the Rams. What are we doing? You know, we're not getting value. We're seeing a lot of that value show up here in this draft. And think about Warren McClendon. I'll chat about him a little bit, Jake. My man wears a neck collar, my guy. So you see a big old offensive lineman wearing a neck collar, you're going to be in trouble.
That's what it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're going to be in trouble. I mean, he allowed sacks in the past two seasons wearing a neck collar. Sign him up with my team. And so we talked about the Rams are addressing the needs that they have. And so to see a big old guy come to the team with these intangibles is amazing. High football IQ, right? He does a great job with the double teams. And like I said, my man's wearing a neck collar, Jake. So that's scary in itself. You know, some of the minuses for him is he's working on his hands and having an efficient punch. So, you know, he can work on that at the next level. And I'm sure Aaron Donald is going to force him to work on his punch, you know, during practice. But I love the pickup, Jake. The Rams are cooking. All of these picks, Jake, with Nick Hampton, it's a decent pick for me. That was my pick where I'm like, okay. But all of these picks back to back to back, muy bueno.
Yeah, and when I was really happy when they got McClendon, because I mean he was one of my guys. Remember, he was in our guys episode, our last episode, and you know I just feel like it's important anytime you can go out and get a guy that's played in national title games, a guy that's gone out and been a captain, a guy that's gone out and he had live reps at left tackle. He's a right tackle. But you know, in a pinch, all right, I can kick this guy in at left tackle. And, you know, he's a 3-year starter on Georgia, you know, 37 career starts. And Cam, you're going to like this one, all right? Only 2 holding penalties in 28 starts the past 2 seasons. So, you know, this guy's disciplined. You know, this guy has the power. We saw it at the Senior Bowl that I brought it up on one of the episodes. He went up against Isaiah Land, who is a little bit more of like a tweener, you know, off ball linebacker. So maybe he had the advantage, but just watching him just neutralize him at the point of attack, you know, that's the type of stuff that you want to see on tape. So, you know, I think really what it looks like is with McClendon. I mean, he's somebody that is a quick processor. We talked about that. You know, he sees those delayed blitzes. He's going to pick that up, you know, and those, you know, he looks for extra work. He's not just a guy that's going to sit there and look pretty. He's going to go and try, like, he wants to move people. He wants to protect his quarterback. He wants to help in the run game. And so I see the ceiling as the future right tackle post Havenstein. But I think the floor is a very good depth piece that can kick in right away at guard if need be in any game, play live reps. And so this is one of those guys, you know, you're looking at, you know, the guys that aren't ready necessarily to play right away, him, Nick Campton. I feel like these are the guys, especially Stetson Bennett, that when, you know, the preseason kicks up and we get to watch these guys play with live reps, I mean, it's going to be fun. Because I think McClendon is somebody that this might be the best offensive line that we see the Rams have had in the preseason this whole time under Sean McVay and Les Snead. So very excited to see where they play him. Do they keep him at guard? Do they move him to tackle? They have you know, draft capital, you know, AJR Curry last year, right? They have Tremaine Ankrum, who they really like. I see a kind of like he's like a high end Tremaine Ankrum, because Ankrum played in those big games at Clemson, but. I really like this pick, man. And speaking of which, I love the next pick because he was another one of my guys. Davis Allen, man. Yeah. I just, you know, Allen, I said this on the live stream. I'll say this again. I'd rather have Davis Allen in the fifth round than Luke Schoonmaker in the second. And you know that holds weight because I brought up Schoonmaker on our sleepers section on Off the Edge. I like Schoonmaker. But Dallas picked him in the second round. That's a little too rich for my blood, my guy. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Davis Allen is somebody that is going to get right into this room. Nick Caley was really the new tight end coach. He was really hyped about getting him, really made sure, like, let him know, like, I need this guy. Sean was really, you know, complimentary of him. So this is an opportunity for him because you have Hunter Long in there. You know, you have Bryson Hopkins, you have Tyler Higbee. So at first, you're looking at a fifth round pick. You're looking at a guy that might not make the roster because there's four tight ends, including himself. And then, you know, you have guys, you know, that are, they sign futures deals, right? But the way I see it, Cam, is that this guy is going to be potentially redshirted. And if he plays well enough, he won't be, but he's probably going to get redshirted. They like his long-term upside. And when Higbee and Bryson Hopkins hit free agency, they're either picking one of those guys or none of them. And at that point, now you just got a shot, my friend. You just got promoted. Do you want to be our guy? And they're going to know if he's their guy. He's going to have to put in a lot of work. But I think Davis Allen is a future starting tight end in this league.
Yeah, you mentioned just with him being in the fifth round, Jake, you love it. You want to make sure that Tyler Higbee, you don't want to disrespect Tyler Higbee because yeah. Let's not forget, Tyler Higbee is that guy. The Rams also traded, got Hunter Long, that third round pick. So let's not disrespect the people that are already in that room. But Davis Allen might be one of the better, you know, pass catching tight ends in that Rams room. So Tyler Higbee can't catch the football. Davis Allen, though, he reminds me, you know, my comp has always been Cambray. He wears the 84 like Cambray. They move very similar. Their hands are great, Jake. You mentioned he may not start right away. He's going to cause problems for that starting Rams defense, Jake. That's one thing about it. With this fifth pick, he's going to sharpen up the skills for that Rams defense. He's going to be better than most tight ends that they face throughout the year. Catching wise, you know, I got him running a 4.8, Jake. So he's not a burner, but a 38-inch vert. So, right, you see him a lot of times in those red zone opportunities. You see him on those first down opportunities where, hey, if you got to throw that ball up in the red zone, Davis Allen's going to go jump and go get it. Jake, he was a 6A defensive player of the year in Georgia. So he played defense coming out of high school and now playing offense. So, you know, a guy like this, special teams. That means he's going to go down there and tackle the football. He's going to be able to protect on the punt game. And so I love the pick here, Jake. Some of the notes I have are he's a major threat in the one-on-one situations, right? If he is one-on-one, throw him the football. I talked about it earlier, but it's one of the notes. Another note I have for him is throw the damn ball up and he's going to catch it. Davis Allen, he's looking to receive more than block. So hopefully those other tight ends on the Rams roster, they can do the blocking and he can do the receiving, right? You can put him in the slot. You can put him at, flexed out as well. And he's going to be a threat out there. Just like Tyler Higbee. Like I said, we don't want to disrespect Tyler Higbee because we love Tyler Higbee. His contract is up. He's a little bit injury prone. So you got a guy like Davis Allen that can step in and relieve Higbee whenever he needs it.
Yeah, see, he is somebody that won't surprise me if he ends up having a big role this year. He jumps Bryson Hopkins on the depth. He just has like a monster. But like, it's just the problem is that position. You got to learn the offensive tackle. You got offensive line. You got to learn wide receiver. I mean, it's the hardest rookie position, I think, to play.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm tempering my expectations, but I'm very high on his overall upside. I think he's a better blocker than given credit for. He has a 91% catch percentage when in contested to catch situations.
Ooh.
And this is somebody that I think they were able to get because he ran a 4.84, and people care too much about these 40 yard times. But we know that the Rams in the past, and I'm sure they're still doing it, they focus on the GPS tracking metrics. So they get their speed a different way. They don't focus necessarily just on what they run at the pro day or the combine. They look at other elements, and Davis Allen fit their needs. So I love this pick as well. And then the next pick is somebody that it's funny. I kind of forgot about a little bit. I didn't get to finish his eval, but he's a guy that just continued to show up on film when I was watching Jaren Hall, you know, our guy, Jaren Hall, we were talking about pretty much all off season, Puka Nacua. And, you know, if you watch Jaren Hall, you know, throwing it, you know, back shoulder fade near the sideline or back shoulder fade in the end zone or whatever, Puka Nacua is coming down with most of those. Okay. Like, I mean, you're watching tape and you're like, are these highlights? Like, he just continues to force feed Puka Nacua. And it's like, you know, really intelligent guy, captain at wide receiver, good route runner, you know, a guy that can be used in those gadget roles. There are people that are comparing him to Bobby Woods, and I kind of see it, although I think it's more fair to just say he's a Rams type of receiver. Let's not put too much on his plate. Let's not try to push Bobby Woods on him, because those are some big, I mean, he was the fan favorite, okay? So I'm not about to try to push Bobby Woods, you know, potential on this guy.
Yeah.
But I see why they drafted him, and I think he could have a Josh Reynolds impact as a, you know, kind of a juicy wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5 that kind of, you know, fits into a decent role if anybody goes down.
Jake, I like it. And you mentioned him having a Robert Woods comp. Jake, I kind of said Cooper Kupp. And it's funny that you said have him being a Rams type of receiver, right? Just the way he runs his routes, you know, I'm like, hey, I've seen that before, right? And so he gave me a little bit of Cooper Kupp. You know, he was a Utah Gatorade Player of the Year, right? Utah is not known for football like that, right? Probably more snowboarding and other winter sports. But to be the Gatorade Player of the Year, that cannot be ignored. So let's give him that one. A lot of times when you mention you cut on his tape, he's exciting. He's getting force-fed. He is the captain of that team. So put the ball in his hands. He's going to make some plays. I think the same thing when you think about the Rams. Hey, give the ball to Cooper Kupp and see what he does, right? And so Puka might have been that type of player for his team there. But I love the pick, as you mentioned. He's a captain, Jake. And so when you got a guy like that on your team, he's only going to make it better. He can be your jet sweep guy if you need it, right? He's really great in open space when he has that football in his hands. He can make some plays. He wasn't the Gatorade Player of the Year in Utah for no reason, right? Like, my man, once he gets the football, he can be super dangerous. So, Puka Nacua, he's going to have to play special teams, Jake. We talk about this. You know, I know I bring it up a lot, but guys don't realize just because you get drafted in the 4th, 5th round, that does not exempt you from special teams, because when you got depth on your team, You gotta bring value somehow, right? People are gonna look at that roster and be like, he's gonna sit out because we got this defensive lineman, we got this receiver, we're so deep here. What are they doing? So a guy like Puka Nacua, he's gonna make his money on special teams first, right? We talk about some of these players, that's where they're gonna make their money. I can see Puka Nacua running down as a gunner, returning punts, returning kickoff returns, and showing that he is the Gatorade Player of the Year in high school, showing that he is a captain of his BYU team, and showing that he belongs on the Rams team as well. I love the pick, Jake.
Yeah, I really like the pick. I mean, you know, A.T. Perry is available at this point, my third receiver, but I definitely, it was like, we can't get too much into, you know, the grading of who's there and who's not there, because this is based on who's your flavor, right? Yeah. There's all sorts of guys at this point. You can go out and get your guy. And so I think Puka Nacua fit what they were looking for more than A.T. Perry and some of the other guys that were like complained about not picking. So I actually like the pick a lot. And he's somebody that I just wish I finished my eval on because I really liked him. I just, you know me, I was running out of time. I had spent a lot of time on these prospects and just, you know, couldn't finish the eval. But I did after the fact finish it. And he would have graded around like a fifth round grade for me, maybe even a high fourth, like a late fourth, you know, early fifth. So this is about where like he would have gone. I just think, you know, first thing you look at the body control, the sideline awareness, you know, what he's able to do. But also it's not just the body control. It's not just the sideline awareness. It's the hand-eye coordination. And when you see, you know, he has this great concentration where, you know, he has this catch where he like tips it up to himself and then like contorts his body so he keeps his 2 feet in bounds, even though he doesn't need 2 feet. I always give bonus points for guys that do that because they're preparing for the next level when they do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, he keeps 2 feet in bounds and then catches it. And he, you know, he hauls it in with two hands. You know, I think that's something that's important. You know, Isaac Bruce, one time, you know, I talked to him on a show and he said one thing. He's like, you know what is something that kind of annoys me? He's like, one-handed catches. He's like, one-handed catches tells me you weren't in the position to make the actual catch. And I thought that was really interesting. And I mean, Reverend Ike is one of the greatest receivers of all time and obviously a Rams legend. I'll revert to him on receiving. All right. You know, I understand the one-handed catch is cool, but I agree with him to an extent. Like, hey, look, like you weren't in position. You had to make a last ditch effort and you hauled it in. And maybe that was luck, my friend. You know, maybe you just happened to. So, you know, this is a guy that isn't put in those positions. Puka Nacua, you know, he's going to get 2 feet, 2 feet down. He's going to get two hands on the ball. And that's what you want in a possession receiver. It's why, you know, at that 6'1", 6'2", size, I see him like Josh Reynolds because I don't think Josh Reynolds going into the NFL, people thought he was going to be what he ended up being. I think they thought he was more of a deep ball, go up and get it type of guy. And I would say Josh Reynolds just didn't play that well above the rim. I think people looked at the 6'3 frame, but they didn't look at the fact like he wasn't built like a DK Metcalf. Like he was a skinnier, you know, slender build. So what he did is became a possession receiver, got better at his route running, got better as a blocker. And I think those are the things that you'll see in Puka Nacua. So I keep saying it, but I swear I see Josh Reynolds, you know, wide receiver for Josh Reynolds on the Rams out of this guy. And I like the pick. Moving on. I love this pick. This is one of the studs of the draft. He shouldn't have gone this low. I have serious questions about NFL evaluations based on the fact this guy fell. You win the Jim Thorpe Award. I don't care if you're 5'8". The Rams traded up for LaMarcus Joyner, for Christ's sakes, okay? Right. What are we doing here? What are we doing? How did LaDainian Tomlinson's nephew, who played in a national title game, who was literally named the best cornerback in college football, a guy that is just absolutely suffocating as a corner, played on the outside, played on the inside, how is he falling to the sixth round? I'm not going to complain because the Rams, they did right by him. They went out, they got him. He said, this is going to be one of the best picks you've ever made. I agree with him. I think this is slot God 2.0. I think at the end of the day, if he hits his ceiling, keep him in the slot. He's going to he needs to get better with his penalties. I do think he gets a little grabby. He gets a little
That's
bit,
why.
And that might've been why he fell, but you can mold that. You know, he's got that fire. He plays literally like, not his hair's on fire, Cam, like his whole body is engulfed in flames. That's how this guy's playing. So I love the attitude. I love the bloodline. I love the work ethic. And I'm a short guy myself. So short kings unite. I'm a big fan of, you know, THT. And I'll say this right now. He's going to start day one nickel corner. So you get a day one start in the sixth round. And he's going to be one of the best nickel corners in football by the end of next year.
Okay, I like it, Jake. That's a strong piece there with brother Hodges Tomlinson. You know, you mentioned why did he fall? The penalties, Jake. That's 14 of them. Ooh, and I know, like, it kind of reminds me of Nickell Robey a little bit. You mentioned slot guy Nickell Robey, that aggressive, you know, always chomping at the bit there. That 14 penalties, Jake. Like I said, it can win you games, win you championships, or lose you championships. We talked about some of the players, some of the offensive linemen that have won championships earlier in this draft for the Rams. And these guys don't have many, you know, many flags or anything like that, any penalties or any sacks or any pressures, right? So it's like one thing or the other. With this, you talked about it just as a receiver, right? Being out of position. A lot of times when you have penalties, you're probably out of position, right? You're either grabbing or you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing. So like you mentioned, he can step to the next level. You got a guy like Aubrey Pleasant. You got Raheem Morris that can fine tune his game plan. You know, you got a guy like Troy Hill who also plays a nickel, but can say, hey, man, step over here a little bit. Maybe you won't get the penalty next time, you know, and just kind of fine tune, you know, Tomlinson's gameplay. But you mentioned it, very quick twitch there, Jake, can locate the football. And I think he's going to be a great fit for the Rams. This is a Rams type of guy, right? You talked about the flavor. You know, there's other available players in the draft. He is the Rams flavor. You know, Puka Nacua, he is a Rams flavor. So I love the pick as well. And you mentioned that he's going to be one of the better nickels, you know, 2 years in. Hey, we'll see what D'Kobe Durant has to say about that, right? But I do love this pick as well. And, yeah, it's going to be a great training camp.
Yeah, I'm thinking they got to play D'Kobe on the outside. Here's what I'm hoping for, Cam. We got a number change. I just want to let people... 2-2 at will change to 5. That doesn't change anything. He took Ramsey's number, and Ramsey said, you know, he praised 2-2, right? The big one here for me, Robert Rochelle changed his number to 8, okay? People look at number changes like a clean slate. Robert Rochelle is going to earn that job. That's my prediction. Everyone's like, Darian Kendrick, they're all, okay, he's going to win... Robert Rochelle's got the prototypical size. Now, I don't like prototypical size being used at corner or at quarterback, but there's something about having a 6'3 guy on the outside, the boundary that can play, that had experience. Like, was this a user error, you know, last year? Because I see a guy in Robert Rochelle who was a great special teamer, but why wasn't he getting on the field when you were asking him to start on that Super Bowl team? So explain that to me. How did Darian Kendrick jump him? And I was not over, I mean, we talked about, I was not overall very impressed Darian Kendrick. 6th round pick, to be fair, right? But I have to question why he was starting over Rochelle.
Yeah.
I think Rochelle is going to make a name for himself this year. He might have been overshadowed a little bit because they drafted 2 corners. Rochelle's coming for it. And he changed his number to remind you, hey, I'm still here.
Yeah, right. that number 8. Hey, you're in LA, the Lakers, number 8. He must think he's Kobe, but like I said, Aubrey Pleasant back there. We talked about some of these players that should have played, but they didn't. Aubrey Pleasant is going to fix all that, Jake. I know Raheem Morris, he just came to the Rams a couple years ago. He's trying to figure it out. Raheem Morris has been in the program. He knows what's up. He went to the Lions and came back. So we call that a boomerang, Jake. You go somewhere and come back. He's going to be able to fit these guys up properly. And I'm sure he was watching the Rams film like, dang. Give me one more chance with these guys and watch what I do with them. So I think Aubrey Pleasant's going to get these guys in the right spot and where they need to be.
And you just reminded me something, Cam. Aubrey Pleasant is back. Okay. Last year, no Aubrey Pleasant, no Ojiro Evero. Is that why they didn't go with a cornerback until the 6th round? Is that the thing that we're overlooking here? Are they like, you know what? We're smarter than the public. They're going to mock us Corey Trice in the 4th round. They're going to say that we should go out and get this corner, this corner, this corner. But at the end of the day, no. We have the position coaches that we believe are going to get the most out of a Darian Kendrick, the most out of you know, Robert Rochelle, D'Kobe Durant. We're going to bring in THT. Hell, don't even sleep on, you know, the guy that they, you know, the other guy they got. I forget his name. It totally escaped me. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that might be the thing that I was overlooking at. And then you just kind of, the glass just shattered. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. I just realized that. So, yeah, I'm excited for that because you're absolutely right, Cam. When you look at THT, do you have the raw skills to play in the NFL? Yes. Okay, let's move on to the next bulletin. Did you play against real competition? Yes. Okay, let's move on to the next bulletin. Are you a little aggressive, a little over aggressive? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's control that aggression a little bit. All right. Let's get controlled aggression in you. Be aggressive when need be, but don't be overly aggressive. And now you can use that. You talk about me using sleep as my superpower because I don't get much sleep, right? Well, use your aggression as your superpower. Don't go too overboard, but use it when you need to. Mm-hmm. And if you can play with that aggression, and here's the thing. Those penalties are not going to come back and hurt him in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because refs aren't keeping track of that. They're not like, oh, this This man was penalized 15 times. No, they got way too much stuff on their mind. They're not counting that. So this is your opportunity to create a reputation. To we talk about clean slate with Robert Rochelle. It's clean slate with THT.
Yeah.
Create a reputation right now that you are a penalty-free guy. You're aggressive, but you got that fire and you're not overly aggressive. And now you won't get those calls.
There you go. And that's all about being in great position, Jake, right? Aubrey Pleasant, I think, and we talked about this, right? How are the Rams building their roof? You know, how are they building their beams and their foundation? They're building it with these coaches that can provide some cover for the players, right? Yeah. A lot of times when you're talking about providing cover, just giving them the tools and techniques to just be better players and to win football games. And I think the Rams have it. Shout out to the Rams for getting the right coaches in that locker room. That was probably the biggest move they made in the offseason. When it came to trades, it didn't go so great, right? But the coaches piece, I think they nailed it. And it shows here in the draft where they're getting guys later in the draft, but I'm sure Aubrey Pleasant was like, hey, coach, trust me on this. Get who you want on the offensive side. Get who you want on the edge. But just wait a little bit for the DBs. I got you covered. And that's what I'm seeing here.
I'm really glad we both kind of figured that out while we were going. I mean, that was the one question mark I had, you know, about like, where's the direction there, right?
Yeah.
There's the direction. And I was told that expect, if anything happens, it's more likely for John Johnson to come back than Troy Hill. So I thought that was an interesting little tidbit because that's showing a lot. So not having a veteran presence in there, that's really, I mean, that's signing off on guys like Dakobe Durant. Like,
yeah,
hey, this guy can lead, you know?
Yep.
So
you saw Kevin Demoff's letter. Dakobe Durant was in there. So, hey.
Well, yeah. I mean, we called it last year, Cam. This guy has the makings of a superstar. He really does. We'll wrap this up here. We got five more picks because the Rams just picked nonstop. They turned 7 into 14. They had the most with 11. And we normally see those less need, you know, we call them less need specials where the picks swap.
Yeah.
Well, He didn't do that as much. He went out and got 3 more picks they didn't have. O'Shawn Mathis, Nebraska, didn't really like the tape, but I liked the tape at TCU. The guy transfers. Nebraska was just awful. Like, it was awful. It was a bad environment, right? Like, you know, they're trying to recruit KU over there. Yeah, they're trying to recruit Lance Leipold the whole season. They're trying to hire him from Kansas during the season. That was how much turmoil they were in. So O'Shawn transfers there, and he doesn't really even get a chance. So I think this is an interesting pick. Vines for arms, they said on NFL.com, Lance Zierlein. 6'5", 250, Lance Zierlein called it a lottery ticket that the Rams are hoping to cash in 2 to 3 years. That's perfect because you have Daniel Hardy, you have Michael Hoyt, you have Keir Thomas, you add Byron Young, you add Nick Hampton. Now O'Shawn Mathis can just either sit on a practice squad or he can sit on the roster and be a healthy scratch and just learn. You know, he's just going to learn. He's going to be in the film room. He's going to be with these guys and work in, you know, practices and stuff. These are the type of picks you make. A traitsy pick, you know, the guy that fits your mold, 189 overall.
There you go. I love it, Jake. You mentioned 6'5". That's a big boy on the edge, Jake. That's a big boy. And, you know, hey, do you put more weight on them and move them inside? We just talked about some of these other picks, right, that the Rams have. Do you put more weight on them? Add some beef into the middle, you know, figure what does that look like? Because you got a lot of edge guys. You got a lot of guys that can work this edge. So who can we move into the middle? You know, the Rams picked up Nick Hampton. He's 236, 6'2". You know, keep on the edge, apply that speed on to those tackles. But with Mathis, 6'5", you know, a little bit bigger, hey, let's add a little bit more weight, move him inside a little bit, see what he can get done, Jake. So I like that there. And he will be playing special team, by the way. So all you big boys, you play defensive end, he ran a 4.8, so I'm sure the special teams coach is licking their chops like, ooh, we need to get him down on kickoff, we need to get him down on punt. So I like the pick as well. Like I said, Jake, the Rams are fulfilling their needs, and I love to see it in that pick there.
And now, speaking of licking their chops, the Rams were licking their chops because when Zach Evans, who, by the way, was another TCU transfer, you can see there's a little pipeline going on here. They're watching a lot of TCU and Georgia tape.
Yeah.
Zach Evans, TCU transfer, because your guy Kendre Miller kind of, you know, dominated. He goes to Ole Miss. Unfortunately for him, he transferred into a situation where, you know, I always forget the guy's first name, but Judkins is going to end up being like a first round talent, maybe a second round talent, whatever. Evans was a second to third round prospect. In my opinion, I had a second round grade on him. He's my 11th running back, but it's a really deep class. So probably any other year, he's probably top six, right? Zach Evans, maturity concerns, you know, that's the big thing that keeps coming up. I don't care. I've said it over and over again. What 20, you know, younger than 25 year old doesn't have maturity issues? I mean, at the end of the day, Zach Evans has the explosiveness. He has the home run hitting ability. Like he, and this is why like 40 time doesn't always indicate what like a true, you know, picture. He ran a 4.5. Akers ran, I think, a 4.47. He's faster than Akers. I think he can house one. Akers is going to get tackled from behind. I think Evans has the home run hitting ability. We talk about adding that home run hitter in this, you know, offense, you know, trying to diversify the receiver, the running back room. And I think Evans does that for you, you know, quick, decisive cuts. And he's a little inconsistent as a, you know, a guy that can, you know, kind of read the blocks and whatnot. But when he does, man, when he's on a tear, he's on a tear.
Yeah, and you just watch his tape, Jake. He's a home, you said, a home run hitter. You'll see a lot of times on that tape where he's running for 50, 60 yards because he's finding that edge, right? He's finding great block, and he starts his run up the middle, and then he breaks to the outside and hits that loop, kind of like that Pee Wee high school football when you the helmet's too big and you see the kid running with down the side with his head up a little bit. But you'll see his tape looking like that where he'll, like I said, he'll find the crease and then hit that outside, and he's gone. So with him, he works really well when his receivers block well, right? Like I said, he likes to find that sideline. And that could be also his critique as well, because he doesn't really trust his blockers. And he's like, oh, I need to make sure I get to the edge. But, you know, we want to make sure that he's able to trust his blockers, you know, find the seams and break those big runs here. And so I think we were talking about our guys. His big critique was he doesn't find the edge enough. So I love that about him. Home run ability, 5'11", 202. And he went to North Shore High School in Texas. So that's, you know, football is king out there. Back-to-back state championships there, over 5,000-yard rusher. So he knows how to run the football, Jake. And then playing in the SEC as well, he's seen some great defenders. So that's going to transfer well to the NFL. So great pick by the Rams there. And like I said, they're just applying pressure to the places that they need. And it's looking great. I mean, at this point, Jake, I might have to bump them up to A-plus as well, because it's looking good for their draft so far for the Rams.
Let's go. Let's go. I said it on the live stream. I was like, let's go Sneed. Let's go Sneed. Like, because I was like, dude, I mean, you know, I was very like critical of what they were doing. But this draft class proves that they had a legit, like, you know, vision. Okay,
something they have in the back pocket. I had a feeling.
Yeah, they're not just like Caleb Williams. Like, no, that's not like their entire plan. You know what I mean? Like, I understand people on Twitter, you know, who spent a lot of time putting effort into making a Caleb Williams Rams jersey swap. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not happening. Like, I'm sorry you wasted your time, but he will not be a Ram. It's not happening. They're not tanking. Okay.
Yeah. Like, they're comparing him to Patrick Mahomes right now, Jake. Like, do you think anyone's going to let him pass on that draft? Like,
thank you.
No.
Like, and I hear, oh, well, I hope Arizona gets him, because then, did you hear what you just said? Arizona gets him, and that means that their season was a colossal failure. So that means they're going to have, first off, internal discussion about moving on from Kyler Murray, however that looks, because it's a new regime. Completely new GM, completely new head coach. That's the first thing. The second thing, when I hear that absolutely drives me mad, is that you're saying that this generational Patrick Mahomes-level quarterback is going to be traded from the Arizona Cardinals and given to the Los Angeles Rams, the rival? No. Are you out of your gourd? When I hear that, I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Use your head. Yeah. That's not logical. That's like, all right, that's like the Patriots going, you know what, Tom? We're going to trade you to the Jets. We don't want you to go to the Bucks. We're going to trade you to the Jets. You're not trading Tom Brady to the Jets?
No.
Are you serious? No, you're not doing that. So I'm sorry. Okay. Like, that's not happening. I don't care how that sounds, how that looks, whatever. It's not happening. It's not realistic. And after this draft, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is Caleb Williams. You need to be focused more on the prize at hand, my guy. They're not winning the Super Bowl this year unless something crazy happens. We know that, right? That's fine. But they can make the playoffs, and I think they're going to. They're better than giving credit for, and I think, you know, and here's the thing. I know you played with him. I don't mean to be a jerk about it, but when you say that this team is going to be bad enough to pick Caleb Williams, you're saying that Sean McVay is going to have back-to-back horrible seasons. You're saying that Sean McVay is going to have a worse season than all of Jeff Fisher's seasons as Rams head coach. No, that's not happening. He's not having a worse season than Jeff Fisher's 2016 season, right?
No.
You're like,
it's not happening. No, it's not happening. That's silly. People, Jake, we can move on from that, because if people are saying that, that means they're not watching Rams football. They didn't suffer last year like we did. So
they didn't suffer. You need to suffer, son.
They need to suffer a little bit more, because clearly they didn't suffer enough last year. But a guy who can definitely support us with that. Rams got a punter next, Jake. I mean,
he's related to Heath Evans. He's got NFL blood. What is with the NFL bloodlines? Even the punter has an NFL bloodline. Yeah. Like, one thing I like about this is ownership. This is a special teams coordinator taking his job really seriously. This is Chase Blackburn going out and finding this guy at Wingate, going to the pro day at Wingate. Like, that's impressive to me. Okay. Yeah. You could say, well, you know, Chase Blackburn, he was, you know, the guy over in Carolina, so he didn't have to go that far. I would say that's just him being an opportunistic dude. That was him being smart, using his head, not trying to reinvent the wheel. Be like, hey, this guy was punting in my backyard when I was in Carolina, so why not give it a shot? Right.
Yeah. I mean, my guy, you know, Ethan Evans, 6'4", 235, Jake. I mean, I have in my notes, he kicks bombs. Like I said, hey,
he does.
Get a military helmet on, because like you're going to be in the stadium. Like, oh my, is something falling? Because he just pins people back on the other side of the field in that 20-yard line space. And the fact that they drafted him after Johnny Hecker, right, and Riley Dixon, that means he can kick that football. So I'm super excited to see what he can do come preseason. But Ethan Evans, out of Wingate, let's go.
Yeah, I'm excited for this, because I think they did – it's very similar to what they did with Zuerlein and Hecker. So they drafted Zuerlein out of Missouri Southern or Missouri Western, and I probably got both of those wrong, but anyway, they draft in the seventh round, and they get Ethan Evans, the punter, in the seventh round. They get the UDFA kicker. I know there's a kicker competition, but I'm telling you, I'm going to go with the Lou Groza Award winner, the most accurate kicker in college football, any day in that type of competition, and Christopher Dunn doesn't have the leg, right? So this is where this comes in, right? So the Rams didn't draft Johnny Hecker. They got him in UDFA. And a lot of people think they drafted him. So I'm just putting it out there. This is the opposite of that, interestingly enough. And you get these guys now, you have about 3-4 years with these guys, so you don't have to worry about paying them. You know, you're in a good spot. So you got to get talent like that cheap. And when you look at Ethan Evans, this guy has a 70-yard leg, and you can look at it as a punter, but I'm looking at it as more than that, because what's a big issue? Why did Christopher Dunn not get drafted if he won the Lou Groza? I can tell you, because nobody wants to draft a kicker in the NFL draft that can't kick touchbacks on the kickoffs. That's a big thing. He can't do that. So what did the Rams do? They went out and got the punter, because they knew they were going to go after that kicker. They went out and got the punter in Ethan Evans, who can hit touchbacks on kickoffs.
There you go.
So it's like a complimentary piece there, you know? Mm-hmm. Talk about playing complimentary football. Well, now you're complimentary, you know, drafting,
game,
acquiring. Like, I love it.
Yeah, no, it's the when it comes to positioning on the field, both of these guys can get that done. Ethan Evans, the fact that he can kick off as well, sign him up, man, sign him up. So, Jake, that's awesome there. I know we got the safety position coming up next, as the Rams are just stacking it up here out of Oklahoma State. We got Jason Taylor coming out of safety. What are your thoughts there?
Well, so this guy has my respect. He lost his father age 8, the day after his 8th birthday. He was shot and killed on New Year's. So just having to basically go through the motions of living your life, growing up and becoming an NFL player without, you know, having your father and losing your father that young. I know that has to be painful. You know, so right off the bat, adversity, right? I mean, what this guy shows. But yeah, this is a aggressive missile of a dude. I mean, really, like he is somebody that is going to work on, you know, you talk about the car crashes on special like this guy's made for special teams. But this is a team that has gone out and got Roddy McLeod. They've gone out and got Nick Scott, late round or UDFA guys that had to earn their keep on special teams and then became starting safeties. He's in that same mold, Cam. I'm not saying Jason Taylor the second's a guaranteed starter, but that's his upside. I think he can be the starter maybe after Jordan Fuller. They don't pay safeties. So his time could be sooner than later.
Yep, I like it, Jake. I mean, my man ran a 4.5, so not crazy fast, but 43-inch vert, so he's super explosive, and he can step
up. That's an alien right there, 43-inch vert.
That's crazy. So
that's like worrying about when you come down, are you going to, like, break your leg, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're hitting the top of the backboard at that point, my man. So,
yeah.
You know, that's a dangerous height there, the way how high he can jump, and he can step and play linebacker. So That's big time. I know he ranked fourth in FBS with 80 total tackles. So he can step in, put some more weight on him, play linebacker as well. But I love that pick in Jason Taylor coming out of Oklahoma State. And finally, Jake, with Mr. Irrelevant, DeJuan Johnson coming out of Toledo, D tackle. What are your thoughts on
another one of my guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I mean, when they made the trade with Houston to acquire Mr. Irrelevant, I was over the moon, okay? Mm-hmm. The Rams have had two Mr. Irrelevance in their history, and one of them was recent. I mean, not really. It was 2008 with David Vibora. Vibora's a linebacker, you know, worked his way at special teams. He might have gotten a little bit on the defense, but he was a good player, like, for being, you know, Mr. Irrelevant. Brock Purdy's kind of changed the game right now because, you know, last year, like, you know, you've brought up many times. I mean, this guy made an impact. He's probably one of the most relevant Mr. Irrelevance ever. The whole point of Mr. Irrelevant is that it doesn't matter where you get picked in the draft, it's irrelevant. And that's the, you know, I like this. So DeJuan Johnson, I mean, what did we talk about? Getting him in a room with Aaron Donald would be something else. Because he's got that same type of build. You know, he contorts his body, has the, you know, lightning quick first step. He played at Toledo. I just love that they made this pick, and I think he's going to make the team. I think all 14 guys have a chance to make the team. I think 13 guys are definitely making the team. O'Shawn Mathis, I'm not entirely sure he's going to make the team because I could see them keeping him on the practice squad, but DeJuan Johnson is going to be in that room, man. Dog work and everything. He is going to be in that room. Henderson is going to develop him. He is going to be a problem. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, DeJuan Johnson, I love it. You talk about Mr. Irrelevant. Is he going to be the next Aaron Donald at this point, right? After seeing Brock Purdy step in and ball out, is he going to be your next Aaron Donald? I know we compare every defensive lineman to Aaron, but he is that great. So to see a guy like DeJuan Johnson step into the space, he gets to the ball with bad intentions. Jake, I know when you see his tape, he's always swinging people around, right? You see Aaron Donald tackle people, he's swinging people around, trying to crack something when he throws them to the ground. DeJuan gets to people with those bad intentions as well. So I really love to see that. Heavy hands. Can split double teams really well. So the Rams, like I said, addressing all of their issues at the line of scrimmage, the fact that they traded up to get this, that shows that they're paying attention. That shows that they're not willing to lose this
year. They're watching us.
They're watching us. Rams in the playoffs this year. They got an A+ for me, Jake. I bumped it up. A+ for the Rams. Great job in the draft this year.
Hey, you know, that wraps it up because we've covered this thing in painstaking detail. And, you know, we talked about this. This is one of those guys, like, they need to draft these guys. Allen, McClendon, we talked about, you know, Byron is the guy that, you know, definitely, I think he was the guy that I mentioned, you mentioned on the Edge episode, DeJuan. I mean, this draft was exactly what the doctor ordered. I mean, they needed this so badly. This sets a foundation, if you will. You know, you brought up the house analogy, like, you know, a while ago. This is the foundation of the house that they're building. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, they needed this. This is bringing home the next era of Rams football. And I think people are going to be really excited about this class now. Yep. But wait until these guys get on the field. You know, I think they can make an impact.
Vamos Rams. Let's go.
So that's going to do it for us. Believe in Rams. You know, we're you know, it's in the books. But episode 161, we're out of here. Be sure to like, subscribe, comment, rate, review. Be sure to follow my guy at Cameron Lynch 50. Be sure to follow me at JK Bogan. We are out of here. Until next time, you guys take care. Later, folks.